Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. He's the Podonis. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy Father's Day to my daddy. I should give a congratulations. He won his tipping comp. It did come down to the final day. He had Raiders in the end, and well, we just watched that game. It wasn't very close. So congrats to anyone else who got up in their tipping comp. Let us know how you went. From our point of view, we've given you pretty sound advice. We've gone something like 85% on our best bets for the last 2 months, but 59% best bets this season, despite having such a tough start. We had another sweep this weekend where we went 2-0 on our best bets and won another mixed matchup. So you look at the mixed matchup record, 12-13 this season. That's really good when the odds on average are above $2.50 and 40% is break even on those. And best bets as well, profits like very strong, especially considering we're in a hole and we've done it the right way. We've done it little by little. We've chipped away and we've had an awesome regular season because 59%, like nobody can really do that. Just picking games against the spread in a certain window of time on a Wednesday night before the round kicks off. But we've done it in front of your eyes and we appreciate everyone that has joined us for the journey. On Sunday nights, we just want to share our thoughts of the 8 games that we have digested the last time this year that we get 8 games in a weekend. But we're not going to go too in-depth. We're not going to really talk about what we've learned too much about sides that have no part to play. Special week this week, NFL kicks off. There will be a special NFL show tomorrow night, 7 p.m. live on this channel. And then we've got our regular Wednesday pod, which will obviously be a finals preview. We've got 4 finals to come in week 1 of the finals. And then Thursday night, a bonus show. Finals extravaganza, bringing in the 5 guys. So heap going on this week, obviously, with NRL finals, with the NFL kicking off. We're going to talk about the last of round 25. And before I bring you in, Podonis, let's get the thoughts from the bookies and find out how they went this weekend.
Hey, Tripod family, Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. And the last week of the regular season's almost done and dusted. I'm doing this at halftime in the Raiders-Tigers game, and that's an absolute blowout. But the rest of the round's been pretty good. Obviously, started the round with a massive game for the top four between the Eels and the Storm, where the Eels were a massive go. They were back from 3.5 underdogs into 3.5 point favourites, covered, obviously, and got their spot in the top four. So punters did really well in that game. That then made the Roosters-Rabbits game virtually a nothing affair, and the punters were all over the Roosters there, but a bit of the exotics limited the damage in that game. From our perspective, we were a little bit apprehensive going to this game with so many dead rubbers, but they were nice competitive games for the most part. Even the Titans-Warriors game was a high-scoring, entertaining one. The game today, despite the Sharks ending up covering, the Knights were in it for a long way. So from our perspective, it was good to get out of this round virtually unscathed. The best result from our perspective of the weekend was the Dragons upsetting the Broncos. Broncos are very, very well back late, and the Dragons obviously spoiled the party there. So we move into the finals. We're going to have a cracking final series. I think it's going to be one of those 4 weeks of action where I think we're going to have some really, really good football. So looking forward to that. Hopefully we get all the players back out on the field that can. I know there's a few injuries that have hurt things. So hopefully you're back to winner over the weekend, and good luck in the upcoming finals.
Thanks, Tristan. Sorry about the background noise there. Happy Father's Day to Tristan. No doubt he had some commitments. Was recording that from out and about as well. And injuries are going to be a little bit of a tail of the tape from this weekend. But Podonis, you haven't said much yet, so I throw to you now. And let's just talk straight away about the opener, which we did have a best bet on, first half bet on Parramatta, cashing. And overall, Parramatta gets the win as well, which secured a top 4 spot. They beat the Storm 22-14.
They did, and happy Father's Day to everyone out there as well. Great to be here on the final round of the NRL season this year. It's been a breeze, hasn't it? We started off in March, and all of a sudden it's the first week in September, and we've already passed winter and into spring. That means finals time, and what a way to kick it off on Friday with the finals preview, where we had two teams battling each other to try to make the top 4. The winner took 4th, loser in all likelihood came 5th, and that's exactly what happened with the Eels triumphing over the Storm. We did like the Eels on Wednesday, and Tristan touched on the weight of money for the Eels, but I think part of that was due to Jerome Hughes pulling out after the pod was released, so that really, really helped us just to secure a great line, because Tristan did touch on the close at 3.5. And I thought Parramatta were dominant. I really felt like the Eels came into the game a bit more prepared and maybe wanted a bit more. I think physically took a toll on the Storm the week before against the Roosters, which is one of the things that we called for. And we just saw Parramatta just first to every loose ball. They're a bit more aggressive. And I think Gutho had a fantastic game. I think one of the pass or the tri-assist of the season was that ball he threw to Ravalawa there when the Storm was compressing their defense on the halfway line in the second half, which was pretty good. I think Storm made the scoreline a bit respectable at the end, but I think it was a dominant win to Parramatta. It really should have been 13+. That's how dominant they were. I think in the first half, it was only 8-0, but I think with the weight of territory and possession the Eels had, it should have been a bit higher scoring. So that's something for them to work on and improve heading into next week, because it's going to be a mouthwatering game against the Panthers. Storm, for the first time in 8 years, they missed the top four. And not many people would have predicted that at the start of the season. We weren't one of those people. We had Storm top four in all of our preseason multis, which thankfully didn't have to come down to that game because they lost beforehand. It's been a pretty unpredictable season, I think, given that the dominance of the last 2 years with that top five, top six that was so entrenched in the previous years. I think 90% of people's top five had exactly the same top five, just in different orders. But I think Cowboys and Sharks have thrown that out, with those two teams finishing second and third coming out of nowhere. And just goes to show that the NRL is one of those games where, one of those sports where anything can happen. And that's why to be at 59% at the moment, credit to us.
And that's why we love it, because it's not always so easily predictable. It's an amazing achievement by Melbourne that they have been there every single year. Like, that is crazy, because everyone else is always nipping at your heels. And salary cap league, there's plenty of sides that can have strong years and injuries come into it. And look, Melbourne is still one of probably the top four premiership favourites. Like, falling outside the four now, they're going to have to do it the hard way. No one's ever won it from outside the four, but it's going to happen eventually. To touch on what happened pre-game, Hughes being out was huge. So Hughes was officially ruled out about 5 to 8 on Wednesday night. So lucky for us, because we release our best bets at 6:15 Wednesday night. You know, we didn't know Hughes was out. We didn't have an inkling of that. So when you said Tristan touched on it, well, Tristan also recorded prior to our pod. So there was an initial line move where Parramatta was a 3.5-point underdog, and that was crunched into 1.5 by the time we recorded, and they were closing in on Pickham. I think that weight of money was just because Parramatta was the right side. And then, obviously, once Hughes was ruled out, Parramatta went from +1.5 all the way into a 3.5-point favourite. And then we went from saying this game's a toss-up to we're pretty confident Parramatta's going to win. We actually had the +0.5 the first half, and we took the mixed matchup. We went against the Storm first half, so Storm didn't score a single point, so that was perfect for us. And look, when a key player is ruled out, that it's happened for us and against us this season, and that's going to happen over the long run. You're going to get them go in both directions. People can sometimes argue, like, could it have been a totally different story? I feel as though Parramatta showed why we didn't believe they should be an underdog, and that they had a right to win this. But I do feel like almost every Parramatta win, people are still trying to poke holes in them, whether it's when they beat Penrith and Cleary got sent off. But that's a huge thing, but they were leading the game at the time. Or then they beat Melbourne, but Hughes was out. Or you beat Brisbane, but Adam Reynolds got injured. But at what point is Parramatta just a legit force as well? We'll certainly see, and we'll certainly talk about that more on Wednesday. But you're right, like, the other scenario that was up in the air is when Parra was up 20-0 in this game. If they could have run away with it and, you know, won the game by 30 or more, it would have opened the door for the Roosters to actually be able to leapfrog the Storm and avoid the Bunnies in week one of the finals. But the Storm got some late tries, and then it was actually a bit more drama with Meaney getting injured as they scored their third try. Melbourne, Munster takes a conversion from nearly in front, misses. It would have been a 6-point game with the Storm receiving the ball for the final minute. But as you say, I think that just made the score respectable. It's going to be tough for Melbourne, but a lot of their chances now is going to hinge on whether Hughes can come back full health. And we don't know what status exactly he was for this game. You know, if it had been a finals game, would he have been able to play? They're playing the long game, going without him, but it's that much harder from outside the four. We can go even quicker on these kind of games that obviously have no bearing on the finals now. But the Bulldogs 21 beat the Seagulls 20. So Manly finishes the season with seven straight losses. But this was one of the few losses where they actually played respectable, to be honest.
Not only respectable, they were leading 16-0 in this game. So it just goes to show how far that they did fall in the second half when the Dogs made a bit of a comeback. It was poor weather as well in this game in Sydney. It was raining on Friday night, so Manly had every right to go on with it and win the game and give some confidence and hope to their fans for next season. But for a side that had aspirations of making the grand final this year, it's been a pretty poor year. I understand Turbo was ruled out, and he's your star and your main man. Last year is Dally M medalist, but I think that incident a few weeks ago really unsettled this side, and it's going to be a long off season. And whether or not Des Hasler's there is another story, but I think it's a different story for the Dogs. I think the Dogs are going to have a lot of confidence heading into next year on the back of what they've done since Barrett's left. They're getting some key cogs as well with Kickout and Reed Marnie. So they're definitely going to be a team that's going to be looking towards pushing for finals. But yeah, another one of those dour sort of games.
And the fact that Manly had some fight in them in this one, and as you say, got out 16-0 and looked like they actually cared about the result and were trying to send Kieran Foran and a couple others that are moving on, send them out a winner. It's almost an indictment on how bad their effort has been in previous weeks, where they totally no-showed games against, you know, Cronulla's and Canberra's, including games in front of their home paying members. So, I mean, I suppose you give them credit in pouring rain at a core stadium in this one. They did come out to fight, but the Bulldogs clawed it back, and then a Matty Burton field goal was the difference. One of a couple of games that was decided by a field goal, and a couple of games where a team that was up 16-0 didn't win. But before we get to that, we won another best bet with a tricky situation, and we took the Roosters just head-to-head at the time, and they won 26-16 against the Rabbitohs. As it turned out, it was a hard game to read for sure, because there was not too much at stake. It was pretty much a certainty or a foregone conclusion that this game was going to be repeated a week later. So I suppose all they did at the opening of Allianz Stadium was play off to see who gets to host next week. And, of course, the Roosters won, cashed our best bet, put on us, and we'll run it back at the same ground again, which I guess they want to build into a bit of a fortress. Injuries also a massive outcome and talking point of this match.
Yeah, 100%. And I think there was a lot of uncertainty on Wednesday when we did tip the Roosters, because there was a few scenarios that could have went for or against us. I think we had everything go against us, where we had the Storm losing. We had Suwali ruled out as well. And I think it just goes to show how strong the play was, getting $1.80 head-to-head, because the line closed at 3.5 after all those. So I think it does show that the Roosters were the side in this one, with South missing Cook. Cam Murray with a brutal HIA concussion in the first minute really helped us, because he's one of those guys that really structured their play in both attack and defense. And it was very, very similar to what happened with him in Origin 3 when he was ruled out off the first tackle, off the hit up, off the kickoff, which was pretty unlucky for him. And it's going to be touch and go whether or not he does pass the protocols. I think that's his third concussion this year, which has been pretty tough so far for Cam Murray. And now the big talking point as well is the injury to Joey Manu in the last 15 minutes, which is going to be massive. There was talk that it might have been an Achilles, but from what I was reading today, it looks like it's his calf. Whether it's a full tear after the season, I think we'll find out in the next couple of days. But
well, they've said grade 2, which is 3 to 6 weeks. So I'm thinking 3 weeks, you get back for a grand final maybe, but the headlines are season. And like the only positive for Joey Manu is he's probably going to be okay for the World Cup. And New Zealand's got an exciting team, but that's a different story. But I'm pretty gutted as someone who's riding some Roosters futures tickets, because he's so electric and he's one of the absolute superstars of the competition. And this just goes to show why teams like Penrith did what they did, and why you don't really want to play all your best players in a dead rubber. And you said nothing went our way before the game. You know, I really thought they'd let Latrell Mitchell spend the week up north. Like, why play him in this game? And ultimately got a sin bin, so he only played 70 minutes of this one. But, like, yeah, there's a case for keeping momentum. Roosters won their 8th straight game, so they're going into the finals as hot as anybody, or the hottest team in the league. But that is such a brutal blow. Obviously, yes, we'll see what happens with Cam Murray. Get the feeling he's probably going to be all right, because there hasn't been much more talk about that one. But the Roosters got out to a strong lead. The Rabbitohs came back at them a little bit. There was quite a amazing or bizarre play by Momorowski, where the Roosters were down to 12 as well, and the Rabbitohs had a penalty and just dabbed it out into touch, and it was only going to drop a meter over the sideline, and Momorowski actually dived and saved it back in play, which just allowed the Roosters to hold onto the ball there and consolidate and ultimately win the game by 10. And I think, yeah, very much vindicating us taking it as a best bet, because even though the circumstances didn't fall our way, we're still comfortable winners. And, you know, had Melbourne won, which at the time that we tipped was like a 50-50 chance, then even more would have been at stake. And I think we just liked the Roosters. You know, Rabbitohs will be much improved getting Damien Cook back in, but as will the Roosters who return Radley. As I said before, we're not going to really preview the finals right now. We'll just dissect what we learned this weekend. This was a highly entertaining game Saturday afternoon, the final one at Mount Smart. And it was kind of a typical Warriors finish. They did everything right until about 7 minutes to go when they were leading by 14 points. And somehow the Titans did actually level it up 26-all. We got golden point, so a bit of bonus footy action for the Warriors fans, but not the result they wanted. A 27-26 win to the Gold Coast Titans. I said about 3 or 4 weeks ago, to be honest, I had this feeling that the Titans were going to rack up a few meaningless wins to end the season, and they kind of did. They won 3 of their final 4.
Yeah, and that was their first win, as we said, on Wednesday, outside of their home state in Queensland. So it just goes to show how dire their year's been. And yeah, this game summed up the Warriors. Attacking started well. Pre-game, nothing went right with guys like Johnson ruled out before kickoff. We did lean the Warriors on Wednesday, so it would have been gutted to get all those injuries against us, because the line.
And that's why we didn't play them, because we were worried about Johnson. So that was probably a good call, yeah.
And then in saying that, when it's 16-0, then I'm like, oh, wow, we should have taken it. The Warriors.
Yes, I was thinking the same.
But yeah, it just goes to show that you can never trust his team to play a full 80 minutes. And in front of their home fans, they would have loved to have given him a send-off to end the year on a high, but it wasn't to be, with the Titans making a stirring comeback. I think Jaden Campbell was excellent, scored a couple brilliant tries in broken play. And Tanner Boyd, the guy who's taken over Toby Sexton's halfback role, kicks the winning field goal in golden point. So that was a great win for them. As you said, meaningless. They still came second last and still got plenty to work on in the offseason and long, hard look at themselves. And I think moving forward with all the assistant coaching staff being replaced and Holbrook retained, I think next year's a big year for him, whether or not he does see out his full contract. But the Warriors would look to the future as well, but they're losing Reece Walsh for next year. As everyone knows, he's gone back to Brisbane. They do pick up some handy replacements in Tamari Martin and Nickel Klogstad from Canberra. So plenty for them to look forward to as well. But yeah, entertaining game on a Saturday afternoon for them.
It was a really entertaining game. And one of the other reasons why we just didn't go against the Titans, even though we've been talking all about how good and how strong New Zealand are at home, was that this Titans team, they're funny. They will not play for 80, but they've just got a few game breakers that they can get hot for periods in games. And that pretty much was the story here. And one of those game breakers is Jaden Campbell, and he scored an amazing solo try that was part of that comeback run of those late 14 points that Gold Coast was able to get to force it into extra time and then end their season on a little high. But, you know, these are pretty hollow victories that the Gold Coast got far too little too late that they've gotten at the end of the season. And I did actually feel a bit bad for the Warriors fans that their season would end like that. But as I said before, that's kind of typical Warriors fashion. And then Brisbane's season ended kind of with them getting what they deserve, really, ultimately, because the Broncos lost 22-12. But you can't say, oh, look, it was tied, it could have gone either way, or Brisbane got a bit unlucky. I felt like Brisbane was given every opportunity to win this game, and they had multiple moments towards the final minutes of this one where they had opportunities presented to them to attack and to get in front and to win this game and to put pressure on Canberra. And as we know, it probably wouldn't have mattered anyway, but Brisbane simply weren't good enough, and the season kind of ends symbolising how they've been for the final 6 weeks, really, but honest.
Yeah, very disappointing, wasn't it, from the Broncos? They had every opportunity to put in a strong performance, at least end the season on a high, and at least make Canberra really work for it today and have to win to get into the finals, but it wasn't to be. The Dragons were made to look like a top-four team, I think, on the weekend. Brisbane's attack has just gone to places that I don't even know were possible, given how strong they were about four or five weeks ago over at CommBank Stadium when they put 36 on the Eels. It's been a tremendous change in fortunes for the wrong reasons. And I think each way you look at it, it's been a poor end to the year for the Broncos. The Dragons had a few tries that they did score as well. They were overturned. So I think Brisbane were hung in the game and had every opportunity to at least make a comeback. I think back to 16-12 as well, when they had a couple sets on the Dragons line with 10 minutes to go and made a couple mistakes, couldn't really ice it and try to find a way to score the try. And the Dragons get a breakaway try of their own to seal it and end their fate. But it was one of those games where Brisbane had to start strong, given that you knew the Dragons were going to... Well, the Dragons have always been physical and hard to beat and tough side to break down. So you've got to match their intensity early. And I don't think that the Broncos did that. They went down to a sin bin as well, which didn't help. They're on the back foot. I think in the first half, the Dragons had 12 sets when Brisbane had three at one point in time. That's such the swing in the possession.
Completed sets. Like it was self-inflicted, weren't it?
Yeah. And yeah, just pretty disappointing as a Broncos fan. And it's going to be a long off-season.
That's right. And you talk about Brisbane needed to fight in this one. And the opening try, Jack Bird just bullies his way through. Like, it scores a try that shouldn't have been scored. He was stopped before the try line, but he pushed past him. And obviously a former Bronco, and I mentioned this on Wednesday night, there's a bunch of former Bronco rejects, basically, the Dragons side and coaching them as well, who would have loved to bury Brisbane. It's exactly what they did, and they were at home. So there was no doubt about the Dragons' motivation in this one. And Brisbane weren't tough enough in that moment, but they're hanging in the game. The second half, there was another key moment where Brisbane had opportunities on the Dragons' line, didn't really come up with enough in attack. In some ways, I wonder if they missed Ezra Mann, because Gamble, what he adds in your defence, that left-side attack was no threat at all for Brisbane. And they've missed Herbie Farnworth ever since he's been injured, and I think I talked about that last week. And then on a fifth tackle went to Reno. He was under a lot of pressure. He came up with the best possible kick that he could, got the ball into the in goal. The Dragons player had to slide to regather it. I think it was Ramsey. And Brisbane couldn't catch him in his in goal. They slipped off him. And I thought like that was the really symptomatic moment. And then the final try and nail in the coffin was at Fiangai. Like, it's a pretty, like, you don't want to take away from a young player. Like, it's a pretty outstanding solo try. But about seven Broncos fell off him. So if they're, you know, if they were fair dinkum and desperate enough, they probably would have been able to pull him down before the line. There was, so many tackle breaks in that run. And at the end of the game, I just said, well, yeah, Brisbane did not deserve to play finals footy this year. And now, you know, we're not even going to leave it up to chance or leave it up to any shenanigans or a Raiders choke, because that sealed their fate on Saturday. And then the next game, Saturday night, let's be honest, the fate of Penrith was sealed when they named their team on Tuesday. I know some people questioned it and said, but they're still, still deep, and what are the Cowboys playing for? And Penrith could still keep it tight. But we tried to warn you. And look, only probably missed opportunity here. I mean, we told you literally, if you're someone who follows the recaps, we told you a week ago what was going to happen, and everything we said happened did happen. So we hope that you did have some good bets cash on this, because that line did go all the way from 4.5 to 20.5 on game day. Obviously, 13 plus was a very juicy price a week ago, and then it went into like $1.50 on Sunday. But, you know, what I was going to say was, I'm glad that people that follow us and jumped on the early plays and got great value had a win. I just feel like we almost should have just had a best bet on -19.5 on Wednesday as well. But it felt weird to tip -19.5 as a best bet when 3 days earlier we told everyone to play the single digit line. You know, so we left it. But in saying that, we did build it into the mixed matchup, you know, and the mixed matchup was created on a Wednesday once the Cowboys side and Panthers sides were known. So we still liked the game so much, and people were messaging us saying, oh, now we've got that great line, you know, do we play back +19.5 on the Panthers? Because your instinct is, when a line moves that far, it's got to be an overreaction. But what did we tell you? We said, this line can't move far enough. And I think we threw around numbers like I said the number for me, you need to get in kind of like a +26 type territory before I even entertain the thought of playing Penrith. And in the end, they go down by 30 and they missed both their conversions. So honestly, it was never really in doubt. 20-0 at halftime, maybe a little bit of a fight back for Penrith. But at the same time, Penrith wasn't really rattled in this one, because they just knew they were just getting reps for a bunch of players that hadn't played much first grade, three on debut. And for the Cowboys, it was everything we told you it was going to be as well. It was bouncing back from a tough loss the week before. It was clicking into kind of finals gear on both sides of the ball and just having a good hit out, but without kind of exerting too much energy or petrol. And now, you know, they wanted to put some pressure on Cronulla. That game was actually close at halftime today, but we know Cronulla won, so the Cowboys will travel. But no matter what happens, the Cowboys will get a chance to play a home final at Townsville as well. Next week, we'll decide whether that's in week two or week three of the finals. But Cowboys looked good, but they did play a B team, didn't they?
Yeah, it was a pretty meaningless game in the end. And we said we did lean towards a 19.5. And to be fair to us, I know you said that it's hard to tip it as the best bet when you say it on the recap at 4.5 when it was 6.5. But in saying that, we didn't really know that they were going to rest the entire starting side as well at that point. We just knew that they'd rest most of their players. But I think the fact that if you look at the lineups team for team on Wednesday when we did the pod, I definitely thought it was a little bit short. And in the end, it wasn't even in doubt. And it was just a training run for the Cowboys and looking forward to next week now. Get a long turnaround into next week. I don't think they've set the schedule yet, but it's likely going to be the Saturday night game up against the Sharks. So it's going to be a fantastic contest. Penrith more of the same. And credit to them and their depth. After all the players that they swapped out, their New South Wales Cup team actually won as well in that first
week. That is crazy. Yes, I was watching a bit of that against North Sydney.
That's off its head. So it just goes to show that the depth at that club is phenomenal. And it was more of the same for the Cows, and a great opportunity for some of those younger guys of the Panthers to show what they can do on NRL level. They were doing most defending in that game, but it's going to be, it sets up both of those teams for a run deep in the finals, hopefully, for those fan bases.
You ask and you shall receive, Podonis. The final schedule, it has been released, so let's break some news. So Panthers Parramatta. That's going to be Friday night. They are giving Penrith permission to play that one at Bluebet. That means Saturday we get the Storm hosting the Raiders. Raiders have won the last four times in Canberra. Saturday night, as you suggested might be the case, is Cronulla hosting the Cowboys. Again, they get to play it at their actual home ground, PointsBet. And then Sunday we get Roosters Rabbitohs. So they do get a bit of time to heal up from their Friday clash. Ryan has asked a question about who's got more likely the upset, Eels or Raiders. I'm not gonna answer that. Sorry, Ryan. And a few people have already asked me, oh, what do you think the line should be for this game? What should be for that game? Look, I'm not going to go as far to say that if I tell you right now, like if I was to say, and this is just a hypothetical, if I was to say, oh, I really reckon the Eels could pull the upset, that would move the line. But it's more that I just don't like to tip my hand too early or weigh in on a handicap when I haven't done my own deep dive and when we do a Wednesday pod that previews the game. So I know everyone's already thinking finals and wants to know what we think about all the four finals games and wants to put on some early multis, and I get it. People say, oh, no, but I want to know now because the lines might move. But, like, I can't treat some people specially and tell them secretly, oh, yeah, this is what I think, get on all these. Like, honestly, when you guys hear us release our best bets at Wednesday night, 6:15 on YouTube, you are the first people in the world finding out those plays. Even our admins and stuff, they don't find out until that moment. So everyone gets the same chance to get on. Let's jump back to, so we'll be up to the Sunday games. Podonis, when we talked about potential best bets on Wednesday, you suggested a best bet involving the Knights and a best bet involving the Tigers. And I actually won't repeat why I said I won't play the Knights because we try and keep it G-rated. But, hey, they did fight hard in the first half, but the best you had suggested was a second-half bet. So I guess a couple of bullets dodged on Sunday. But thoughts on this game that was played in the Hunter, Sharkies 38 beating the Knights 16.
Yeah, you can say the Knights fought hard, but I think the Sharks cruised a bit through that first half and the Knights were definitely the side in the first half. But then at 12-6, with the Sharks attacking the line, Hines throws an intercept and it was 12-all at halftime. So it could have very easily been 18-6 at halftime as well. So it could have been more one-sided traffic. I think that try on halftime gave the Knights the impetus to really kick on Old Boys Day for them. And yeah, when it was 12-all, I definitely didn't like the Knights in the second half because I think the Sharks just really had to turn it on just to secure the win. They pulled Hines off early, which was great for them. But then again, they copped another injury, which we'll have to assess over the next few days. And that was Talakai. And it was actually penalised as well for a hip drop. And there was a sin bin to the Knights as well in the last 5 minutes when there was a hit up, I think, around the halfway line. Talakai was fighting to get up and then his leg got crushed underneath him and he limped off. So it's going to be disappointing if he can't go next week. Hopefully he's fit and able to play because in finals we want to see the best plays in the NRL going around because that's what we love, the entertainment value and also just to see the best players compete against each other to try to win a premiership. So fingers crossed that Talakai is right to go next week, but I think there's more of the same for the Sharks. It was an easy win and the Knights fought hard, but again, falls short and lacking some creativity when it counts.
And again, it's very disappointing for Newcastle because I didn't listen to the press conferences yet, but I'm sure they've got some great excuses, but it's Old Boys Day. You're at home and it's 12-all halftime. And look, there was bad luck in both directions. The Knights scored a length of the field intercept try, but the Sharks essentially did the same. They picked up a grub off the boot of Clune on fifth tackle and returned it 100 metres for a try as well. So each side exchanged a try like that. But you lose 22-0. In the rain, in front of like nearly a full house of loyal fans that come out to watch it, you lose the second half 22-0. And last time they played at home, they lost the second half about 20-0 to the Raiders. So I know that they're probably just running out of bodies a little bit, Newcastle. There's a lot more to play for Cronulla because Cronulla did need to win this game to make sure that finals game next week is in the Shire. And they did ultimately finish strong, but yeah, weak by Newcastle. That's why I didn't want any part of them. Said exactly these words on Wednesday. If you think the Knights are good value and the line was about 18.5, 19.5, and you actually would have been feeling really good about it at halftime, I said you're braver than me to take them because they've just don't give you enough confidence or play with enough heart. Something very wrong with that team, even factoring in, obviously, some of the key personnel losses that they've had. Monitor the Talakai one. That would be brutal, but, you know, Cronulla wasn't in a position to rest too many players today. They did need to make sure they won that one. And when you have to try and get a result in the final week of the season, then that's you're going to be open to that possibility of something going wrong. And that could hurt them a little bit. And saying that, you know, Lachie Miller has been really killing it. Connor Tracy still could come back into this side next week and Will Kennedy as well. And finally, probably the less said, the better about this one. Raiders 56 beat West 10 at Leichhardt, and the Raiders didn't need to win or need a result whatsoever in this game because Brisbane had already lost. I mean, the Raiders did need to avoid losing by 54, but that wasn't really in the realm of possibility. And so they rested Whiten and Whitehead, which we said, yeah, absolutely should. And I explained on Wednesday, you can't make mass changes with how the lineups work. So that was the most players the Raiders could rest. And as a result, the line came in from 12.5 that would have been available yesterday and through the week to, by kickoff, the line was probably maybe as high as 8.5, but yeah, as low as 6.5 on Canberra, which made sense because they had a lot less motivation and they rested a couple of their best players. And yet it was 42-0 at halftime, which means West actually fought back a little bit, only losing the second half. 3-2, but it was one of the most despicable things you've ever seen. Probably the worst thing I've seen since the West Tigers a couple of weeks ago against the Roosters. Well, it was very much the same, probably even worse because you played a team that's not as strong as the Roosters, had less to play for, and you're in front of your own fans, for goodness sake. What happened today, Padonis?
Yeah, I don't know, more of the same. I would have been so disappointed if we did have a best bet on the Tigers after all that went in their favour. Canberra resting their star half as well, and they had the luxury of resting Whitehead and just poor defence. Canberra were just playing at will. It was like a training run, touch footy almost for them, left and right, and making plenty of line breaks. And I think they were winning 16-0 after 15 minutes, and that really set the tone. I think the Tigers had to start well in front of their own fans. It was a great day. It rained all day today in Sydney, but at 4 o'clock somehow God was shining down on Leichhardt Oval when the sun was out. And again, Tigers failed to show up. lack of care factor in the dressing room. I don't know what it is, but plenty of changes and plenty of work for Tim Sheens to do in the offseason. But to get a line of 6.5, I know some people messaged me even saying, should I take the minus because it looks a bit short? But good luck to you guys, because whoever took it, you didn't even have to sweat it at all. It was one of the easiest wins you've ever seen if you did take Canberra, and they're rolling into the finals as well. Good on them, and it's going to be a great contest next week against the Storm and a side that they've won a few games over recently. So finals are going to be fantastic, Winnie.
Oh, I can't wait for it, man. Maybe a lesson, you know, we try and learn, and round 25 is a unique animal, but it goes beyond just what's at stake, obviously, because, you know, we look at it and we think, well, these teams are robots, and we think, well, Canberra has nothing to gain from this. They're going to come eighth whether they win or lose, essentially. So why will they care? Why will they fight hard? But these guys are, you know, human beings, and they've trained hard all season, and they're prepared all week to win this game, because as far as they knew, they had to win. They can't just decide whether or not they want to win on the day. And then, yes, you technically didn't need to win, but you could only drop two players. The rest of them still want to keep putting their best foot forward and put in a strong performance for the finals. And look, if you've got the luxury of resting players like Penrith did this weekend, that's the dream. That's what you would choose to do. That's why we pretty much knew Ivan was going to do that. And you've got no chance anything go wrong with suspensions or injuries. You risk the whole rest versus rust debate. But look, rugby league is such a war of attrition this time of year. Fresher bodies, that's going to win out, right? The second best, if you can't rest, the second best outcome is getting to flog sides, because it doesn't take as much out of the petrol tank. And the Raiders have been really lucky with how kind the draw has been for them. And they've put up 100 points in the last couple of weeks. So although they've had to, the Raiders have been playing finals footy for a few weeks now, they're pretty lucky that they've played some paper tigers, really, and been able to tune up for the finals. And, you know, you mentioned that the game was over early. It was 18-0, you know, after whatever, 15, 20 minutes. But then what about from the 27th to the 32nd minute? The Raiders scored 3 tries in 3 sets. Like, scored a try, receiving the kickoff, and then again the next set. Like, that was just ridiculous. At that point, I started to think, geez, the record books are in danger here, because it was 42-0 after, like, 33 minutes. So I thought, like, 80 could be on the cards. So yeah, at least West, that made it only their second worst defeat of the season. But, okay, and that's round 25 in the books. It's another regular season in the books. Obviously, now we've got some high-stakes action ahead. I will say this on Wednesday, but just because the games are bigger doesn't mean your bets have to get bigger. Just because we've been killing it doesn't mean anything is guaranteed. You know, we really aren't doing that much different now than what we were doing 3 or 4 months ago. It's just the way it goes. We give it our best shot. We try and give our bets the best chance for success, and we explain why we like them, and you do with that what you will. And we're very proud that if you've been following our advice, it would be helping your punting. There was questions about NFL. The NFL kicks off this Friday, so we do have an NFL preview show. That's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. live on this channel. Regular Wednesday pod, as I said, finals preview. And then Thursday, a bonus pod extravaganza. We're going to bring in all the five guys like we did for Magic Round, and get some different perspectives and different handicaps. And these guys might look at some player-related props as well. And if we've got any special finals markets, we'll share them. And I'm going to end the pod with this, guys. I'm going to ask you guys a favor, because anyone that's still listening at this point or watching, and you guys are our truly loyal followers, we're going to ask you a favor. Hasn't been an easy season for us. It's always up in the air whether we can bring the pod back. We always need your support, and we appreciate you, because you watching is the only reason the show is possible, and it makes all the work worthwhile. Can you guys please give us a rating on Spotify? That's what we're looking for. That really helps us and helps our metrics. So if you're listening on Spotify, this is right at the end of the pod, please, you know, finish the pod and then give us a rating. And even if you're not listening, maybe you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, but if you use Spotify, please give us a rating. That's all we ask, and we always keep everything free, and we always give you our very, very best, and that's what we'll be doing Monday night, tomorrow, NFL. Wednesday, finals preview with the Panonis. Thursday, obviously no footy, but you get a bonus pod as well. So it's an exciting time, guys. Thanks for being there with us. Happy Father's Day again. Thanks for making the time to chat to me tonight, Panonis, and have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you again soon. Lego.